Hi, my name is Ben Armstrong.
Hi, this is David Koch.
My name is Thomas Maurer.
Hi, I'm Donna Sarkar.
Hi, my name is Lana Montgomery.
Hi, I'm Seth Warres.
Hi, I'm Aaron Thomas.
I'm Jess Dodson.
Hi, I'm Rocky Heckman.
Hi, I'm Sonia Cuff.
Hi, I'm Troy Hunt.
Hello, this is Wally Mead.
My name is Reid Purvis.
Hi, I'm Lars Finn.
Hi, my name is Alan Birchall.
Hi, I'm Adam Fowler.
Hi, I'm Scott Guthrie, and you're listening to the Need to Know podcast.
All the latest Microsoft Cloud news, as well as industry guest deep dive conversations. It's the Need to Know podcast, all thanks to Rode Microphones. The Need to Know podcast. Catch us on Twitter and Facebook, NGK Podcast, and online at podcasts.needtoknow.cloud.
And we're back for episode 181. My name is Robert Crane. You're on the Need to Know podcast, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Brenton Johnson. Welcome back, Brenton.
G'day, Robert. Good to be back.
Excellent. All right, so we've got a bit of a short news update for people before we throw over to our interview for this week. This interview is with Nico Charrington, who is the Senior Microsoft 365 Product Marketing Manager in Australia. Again, we're following the theme of everything Microsoft 365 business, because again, it's had a whole range of features and additions added to it, and it's really something that people should focus on. We've had also some news around the Windows 10 latest version has dropped for us, so 1803 is already out there for us. And again, they're talking about, if you want to go and seek it, as Microsoft says, and go and check your updates, then generally it will be delivered to you. So otherwise, it will push down to you when your machine's ready. But what can you tell us about 1803, Brenton?
Oh, I think it's a good step. So one of the things that really stood out for me was the Windows 10 in S mode. So the S mode, for those who don't remember, is when the Surface laptop come out, and you might be able to correct me here if I'm wrong, but when the Windows Surface laptop come out, people that come with a Windows S mode, and you could upgrade optionally to Windows 10 Pro. The advantage of the S mode, of course, was it's highly secure. It was a lightweight sort of operating system, so you know, if you had really good specs on it, you know, in 3 years you wouldn't get that sort of slowdown and bloat the same way that you would with traditional systems. And yeah, all the apps came from the Windows Store. That was basically its thing. So the thing is that that didn't work for a lot of people, because a lot of us are still installing things that apps that aren't in the Windows Store, which it didn't support. So everyone was upgrading Windows 10 Pro. So Microsoft said, okay, well, we made a mistake there. It's too early for this product. It's a good product, but it's a bit early. So we're going to turn it into an optional mode, which is great. I think it's ultimately where we're all going to get to. We're going to have, similar like how Apple ecosystem works, we'll have that Windows S mode, or, you know, everything will be verified by Microsoft. Just really enhancing that security. That's one of the things that iOS does really well. You know, the one app store, all the codes checked by Apple to a certain extent, and you know, Microsoft offering the same thing. Would you agree with that, Robert?
Look, I think that it's a move towards lightweight computing, as you've mentioned. Again, it's a throw towards people who just use tablets. Probably the 80-20 will, 80% of users will suit them. They really don't do much more than their email, a bit of web browsing, maybe some basic Word and Excel. So a web app's fine for them. There'll probably be still the need for power users to go in that direction. But for the majority of users, it's the, you know, the Chromebook style, iPad style environment that's going to keep computing simple. It's going to, like I said, provide additional security, prevent people from installing unknown 32-bit, 64-bit apps on their machine. And again, allow people to easily move between different locations, different machines in this mode. It's also really good for education, because obviously students can provide some challenges when it comes to management. And again, the idea here is make that nice and simple for sysadmins. And as a mode of Windows 10, we can move backwards and forwards between it pretty easily. So for the kiosk worker, for the frontline worker, we're seeing this delineation, this work from the web, these simplified devices and tablets. the power users will still be there. But as we've seen with Microsoft and OneNote, they're moving basically to the web, to the store for those apps going forward. So this is, again, a further indication that Windows 10, for a majority of users, probably around 80% of users, will, again, be a very simplified interface in which they'll just access cloud services, and that should make life easier for users and also for people that support them as well.
Yeah, I think it's a great move. As you say, you know, you get a grandma and you give her an iPad, and she can check her email and go on the internet and do what she needs to do. You know, what about being able to give that sort of power to, you know, a tradie that's been out in the tools and never had to use a computer, and now you're saying, well, you need to use this Microsoft computer, it's secure and we need you to use it, and they're throwing their arms up in the air, and you make it simple with Windows 10S.
Yeah, look, I think, again, there are lots of options. I think it's good to provide for Microsoft. It does create a bit more confusion, I think, around what's Windows 10 these days. But I think for a majority of users, we're going to see a sort of a simplified interface, which is exactly what we want. One of the things that I like about 1803 is the new timeline feature. So basically, timelines are going to give you the ability to view the different documents you've been working on across your period of time. So again, if you're sharing or working between multiple machines with the same login, you can basically click on the timeline option and it will show you the documents that you've been accessing in the past and allow you to click on them, use them, and work between them. So timelines are a really good option. I think I'd like to think that we'll see this move into Delve, because Delve is very similar. It's pulling documents obviously from those that you access in Office 365 on a regular basis and giving you a timeline. So I would expect to see, hopefully, that timeline in Windows 10 gets tied into Delve somehow. We're already getting this connection with the Azure AD login if you're using that to your Windows 10 device. So again, I think that there are some major benefits out there. Obviously, we can't always speak about the benefits. There have been some people who have had some issues around 1803. There have been some incompatibilities, but you know, that is to be expected in such a large rollout. Microsoft obviously can't test every single piece of hardware in its ecosystem, and people obviously will, you know, it can be very frustrating for people. But overall, I think it's, you know, again, a step in the right direction. It was a fairly big update. I haven't had any issues myself. What about you, Brenton?
I haven't had any issues with Windows 10, just a Windows 7 update that went around turning off network interface cards. So can't even remote in to fix it, which was kind of annoying. Had to roll it back, blacklist it. And it was a really good conversation starter with the customer around, hey, we really need to get everybody on Windows 10. It's better, it's more secure. And you know, I think that's, I think what Windows, how well Windows 10 actually does update and not cause problems is remarkable itself. You know, it's, we're talking about millions of different configurations of software and hardware, and you know, it's almost limitless, but somehow the world doesn't end every time Windows updates. Honestly, I don't know how they do it in the 50 million lines of code or whatever Windows is, or 500 million lines of code that Windows is. So it's quite remarkable, really.
Yeah, and I think, again, we're seeing a transition from a Microsoft based around Windows to a Microsoft based around the cloud. Windows has been broken up. Terry Myerson has left Microsoft. So, again, the cash cow that was Windows is changing, and that is an indication also of what we'll see on the customer side as well. Windows 10, those sort of things are being simplified. There will still be a need for a power user on the desktop, I think, for some people, but we're going to see a simplified interface, and you know, maybe Microsoft will keep that right down to a, you know, really low price, and may even make it free to as an induction to use the cloud services as well. So again, if you haven't had 1803, go and do a Windows update. You should be pushed down to you. Again, as always, make sure you do your backups and you're prepared for it. But generally, if you're on the Windows 10 fairly current, you shouldn't have any issues. My comment generally now on Windows 7, if you've still got Windows 7 out there, it's like driving a car on ball tires. It may work when the roads are dry, but as soon as the road gets a bit wet or we have a security issue, then you're going to be sliding all over the place and potentially wrapping yourself around a pole on the side of the road. But what concerns me more is not that, is more the concern of you know, people running Windows 7 also infecting or causing problems for people elsewhere because they're connected to the internet. So if you've got a Windows 7 machine, you're driving on bald tires, when it rains, you're potentially going to injure yourself and injure others. So as mentioned, it's really important, I think, to get up to the latest operating system, and something like Microsoft 365 will give you that opportunity with an included upgrade to at least Windows 10 Professional. So again, lots of options. Should be moving towards Windows 10 as soon as you can to make sure that you're current and secured, and that will again help us all be more secure going forward.
Yeah, well, I think it's really important with this customer, all their Windows 10 machine straight up into Azure Active Directory. I can control, you know, they've got BitLocker on all of the machines that are new. And with their Windows 7 machine, it's the same data, but the authentication's local. Even if you authenticate to a local domain, that can be very easily circumvented with some software. It's just like, it's not even comparable in the level of security. And then 1803 brings out even more security with Windows Hello, which is opening my eyes up to sort of FIDO authentication, sort of the next level of two-factor hardware authentication stuff that, you know, we're still miles away from as an industry, but it's exactly where we need to be as far as like securing our customers' information. So yeah, so I think it's important. It's been challenging with this customer. They're holding onto these six-year-old machines. They don't have the budget, but it's funny because they've spent more than what it would have cost them if they'd just upgraded. So you know, it's a total cost of ownership argument all over again, Robert.
I think it's pretty straightforward. And again, there's an article that I read today that we'll put in the show notes that basically a cyber attack on the Family Planning of New South Wales website has exposed personal information of up to 8,000 clients. So again, not a good thing. And again, this is the reason why that we have our data breach legislation in Australia. And come the 25th of this month, 25th of May, GDPR from the European Union will kick in, so even more regulatory requirements, so an even greater emphasis on security going forward, and staying current is going to be really, really important. And again, that's why we like to focus on the Microsoft 365 business side. And again, I'll put a link in the show notes, but what I've done is I've done a blog article which will again compare and contrast the differences between Office 365 Business Premium, Microsoft 365 Business, and the enterprise versions as well, so you can see what's been added, what's new, what's been updated in this product. And one of the ones I'm most keen on is the Advanced Threat Protection, ATP. So Advanced Threat Protection gives you additional security around your email attachments and sending and receiving emails through when there's phishing attacks and impersonations and all those sort of things. And I recommend that it was part of every license anyway. It was a $2.50 add-on, but now Microsoft 365 Business has rolled it in, and we'll put a link in the show notes that really goes into a lot of detail, gives you a lot of idea of how to set it up, what to do, what it does, and again, really gets you up and running. It's pretty easy to configure and get started with, but I'd certainly recommend that you have a look at this article put in there about Advanced Threat Protection.
Yeah, I'd follow you there, Robert, and say that's really important. I think it's it helps bridge the gap a little bit with cost as well when they're throwing in ATP, which you've said this before, Robert, but should be mandatory across all Office 365 tenants with the amount of, you know, I don't have a customer that's not getting some form of email cyber attack like almost daily. So, you know, EOP is great, but ATP gives you a lot more.
Yeah, I think, again, it's a matter of working out the right security. I think having it from a single provider is beginning to have more and more benefits. So you've got, you know, Office 365 ATP, you've got Windows ATP on the desktop, then you've got Azure ATP in the background as well. All of these link and integrate together, provide alerting and reporting up to a single console. So even though there are a lot of good third-party solutions out there, I think that the integration factors, the ability to bring this all under the control of Azure AD with a single identity is going to stand Microsoft very well going forward. So if you haven't had a look at some of this ATP stuff, the Windows Defender stuff on the desktop, as well as ATP in Office 365, certainly encourage you to do it, and you do get it with now Microsoft 365 Business. So set it up, configure it, and again, it will provide a lot of additional protection for you. We've also got the upgraded version 2 of the SharePoint migration tool. That's now generally available. We'll put a link in the show notes. So that's going to allow you to upload files and folders into your SharePoint and OneDrive sites, as it always has, but now it can do list items as well. So that's going to allow you to move things like calendars, contacts, general lists, that sort of stuff, as well as your files from on-prem into Office 365 and SharePoint Online. So Microsoft has continued to improve its SharePoint migration tool. That is a free tool that you can use. Certainly recommend that. I've used that on a number of occasions. Works really well. Remember to always provide feedback to Microsoft on what else you'd like to see when it comes to migrating information into Office 365.
Exactly. Yep.
Cool. All right. So some other quick news here is that Azure has now got per disk metrics for managed and unmanaged disks. So if you want to go in and track the usage of the disk or the costs of individual disks rather than having them rolled into the cost of a virtual machine, we can now do that in Azure for both managed and unmanaged disks. And that's going to, again, give you the ability to drill down into your low-level costs if you need to in Azure. We've also seen Microsoft just come off its build conference in Seattle. So again, effectively aimed at developers. Some interesting comments around it, a bit different from what normal. No real big impact coming out of this, no major announcement. A lot of it was focused on AI. Some of the ethics around it are beginning to pique Microsoft's interest. So examining how AI is going to make decisions and what it's going to do. And we've also seen that Google had its Google I.O. I think the same week or pretty much directly after the Microsoft. And one of the things that's really getting some interest there is the Google Assistant. Have you got some more background info on that, Brenton?
Oh, look, I can do you one better, actually. I think I've successfully merged both my microphone and my speakers, so I'm going to play the sound, and you won't be able to hear it, Robert, but you'll be able to hear it on the recording, so I'll do the end caps on it. So I'm just going to run it now.
Hello, how can I help you?
Hi, I'm calling to book a woman's haircut for a client. I'm looking for something on May 3rd.
Sure, give me 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, what time are you looking for around?
At 12 p.m.
We do not have a 12 p.m. available. The closest we have to that is a 1:15.
Do you have anything between 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.?
Depending on what service she would like, what service is she looking for?
Just a woman's haircut for now.
Okay, we have a 10 o'clock.
10 a.m. is fine.
Okay, what's her first name?
The first name is Lisa.
Okay, perfect. So I will see Lisa at 10 o'clock on...
All right. So so what you can hear there, or what you hopefully heard there, was the Google Assistant making a phone call to a hairdressing salon on behalf of a customer. The reason I wanted to add this today is it gives you a really good idea of where AI is starting to bridge the gap. So rather than, say, Google or Microsoft running around now trying to say, okay, you have to go and do this, you have to do that, they're actually just going, okay, we'll go direct to consumers. We'll give consumers this technology that will automatically make these phone calls and work with your antiquated business systems, because it somehow seems easier for a big tech company to work with end users and give them technology that interfaces with archaic business technology than to try and bring the business technology up to spec, which I was really quite surprised. I did not expect this to be happening at all. This is not what my big bet on the technology world was, but this is what's happening. So, you know, there's great technologies like Cortana in Windows 10. I'm using the calendar.help Cortana Assistant, and it's fantastic. Have you used that before, Robert?
Yeah, I had wrote a blog article a couple of years ago about it and put on to a few people on how to use it. So, again, it's another option here. We've got things like Find Time as well. So there's a lot of options, but again, we're beginning to see, like you said, this improvement in AI, the big data, the big cloud computing companies are able to throw enough computing power to crawl through the data and basically make use of it. So again, I think this is another indication of how important these larger companies are going to be and their machine learning algorithms and, again, interfacing using those. So you could have a whole lot of data yourself, push it through a machine learning model, and you can spit out some very interesting insights that can make your business more productive. And I think the other thing too, like you mentioned there, is the automation aspect. And we've already seen some basic automation in Office 365 with Flow. In Azure, we've got things like Azure Functions, we've got Azure Automation. So at its base level on a desktop, we've also got PowerShell. So the big encouragement certainly for people, especially technology people, is invest in automation, get the job done consistently, and let the machines do the work. But again, brave new world that we're opening up here, and it's only going to improve from here.
Yeah, I agree with you there, Robert.
Cool. All right. I haven't got much more. We want to get into this interview with Nico. We tend to end up being rather long for me. We want to try and keep it as short as possible. So do you have anything else, Brenton?
No, that's all for me this week.
Excellent. All right. So as usual, you can find me at DirectorCIA on the Twitter, and Brenton is at ContactBrenton. And again, what we can do is if you want to basically contact us, don't forget that you can do that via a number of different options here. And we certainly encourage you to give us your feedback. Let us know what you want to hear and what guests you'd want to have on our podcast here. But without further ado, let's get into the interview with Nico. I'm joined by a special guest for this episode. I'm talking with Nico Charrington from Microsoft. He's the Microsoft 365 Senior Product Marketing Manager. Welcome, Nico.
Thank you. Welcome. I feel welcome already.
No, it's good to hear, and thank you very much for taking some time out of your busy day to come and talk to our listeners, especially about the new stuff that's happened in Microsoft 365 Business. But before we get into that, do you want to give everybody just a bit of a background about yourself and how you've come to be in the position you are at Microsoft?
Yeah, sure. I joined Microsoft about 7 years ago, initially in Argentina, where I'm from. And I took a role in the partners team. I was managing the system integrators there. And then I moved to Australia, where I took a role in the SMB team, more as a channel manager. Later on, I took a role in the devices sales team, managing as a business manager the OEM team. So the relationship with the device manufacturers and the way we go to market with them. And finally, I moved to the product marketing team, joining as a Windows PMM, a product marketing manager first, and now as a Microsoft 365 product manager, now that we have integrated the teams from EMS, Office, and Windows into one division.
Yeah, so I think that what a lot of people probably are a little bit still confused about is this new thing called Microsoft 365. Obviously, it was announced around June, July last year at the Worldwide Partner Conference, and it's sort of a new way of thinking, a new way of approaching it. It's not Office 365, it's more than that. So from your side of the fence, how do you explain what Microsoft 365 is when someone asks you?
Yeah, look, I think one of the reasons why we decided to make a change in our products in the way we pitch to the customers is that we realized that when we talk about Microsoft's suite of products to our customers, they don't think about Office or Windows or EMS as different elements. They think about how do you enable my workplace. So the decision was from Satya to say, hey, why don't we promote this modern workplace as a suite, and we bring together products that should be working seamlessly fine together, like Windows, Office 365, and EMS. And that's exactly what we did. We started merging the engineering teams to make sure that the integration of these products is even better than ever. And we also did the same with the marketing teams to make sure that the message to our customers and to the partners that are helping us promote these products is very seamless and clear. So Microsoft 365 came to be, and as I said before, is kind of the merger of three components. However, you might know that we have different versions of the products that we offer. Some of them for the enterprise that include the full components of Windows, Office, and EMS. And for the SMB space, small business, we decided to have a simplified solution that is not quite the addition of the three, but it's a more refined and purpose-built design for SMB.
Okay, so obviously we're talking about a new product that is a combination of Office 365, Enterprise Mobility and Security, and Windows 10 as well, which I think Microsoft now refers to as a modern desktop. So Windows 10, Office 2016, connected to Office 365 and protected by things like Intune and Azure AD. But again, from a customer's point of view, is when they ask is, what problem does Microsoft solve for them? You know, if I get this product, what is it going to basically do for my business?
Yeah, well, we see different trends happening in particular in the small and mid-sized business segment. We see that the activities that they are doing today are much more collaborative. So we want to make sure that we bring solutions that allow that collaboration across people that work very differently. Because if you think about it, we have different generations of people from baby boomers to millennials working on the same space. And some of them like to work silo in a cubicle, but these new generations are bringing different ideas. They like to collaborate in groups. They like to bounce ideas off each other and be always connected to what's happening around me. So those collaborative tools are key. So the addition of all the Office 365 applications there and the connection to the cloud allow that. And also a second trend that is very, very prominent, that is the mobility. Employees today need to work from their customer's office or maybe the company is spread across the country. And even you might want to allow your employees to have, you know, work from home or have a more work-life balanced style. So these trends are key, and we are enabling that with the Office suite. But the third component, and this is why for SMBs we're introducing this product, is cybersecurity. This is a top of mind for every single business today. And we know that 43% of the cyber attacks are targeting SMB, which is a big deal. 60% of those businesses go out of business within 6 months. And those who resist the attack, the average cost is $275,000 in Australia. So it's a big, big concern. And we get a lot of feedback. So this product, in particular for SMB, as I said, is not the combination of the three solutions, Office, Windows, and EMS, but it's a product that has been built on top of Office 365 Business Premium, including all the applications for the desktop, the online services, and the business apps. But also we've added enhanced security features that go across platform. That means Windows, Android, iOS, and so on, and mobile device management that allows that full management of those devices that are maybe BYO, if that's what the company wants to have, or maybe owned by the organization.
Yeah, so I think that one of the key things that we see in the market, we typically are dealing with resellers who are MSPs. They're providing a managed service to clients to look after or outsource the management of their IT. And in many cases, they're doing a great job with desktops in and the traditional on-prem servers. Now they've moved to the Office 365 environment. They've got those security and compliance that comes with that product out of the box. But where we see, I think, the large gap in the market, which you've alluded to, is basically the mobile devices. The fact is that many people have more than one mobile device. They have a phone, they might have a tablet, they have a roaming PC, they're probably not in the office as often. And again, the challenge is if those machines aren't inside a domain, how do you apply policies and that? So that's where the Intune component comes in to allow that to be applied. So it again, I think it's great recognition that these are the devices that need to be managed. And I think part of the challenge is that what resellers will need to do is step up and learn how they can apply these policies and manage those devices with these Microsoft tools. And I think the great thing is that we're getting to the point now where they're effectively enterprise grade tools that are going to be available to, you know, the smallest SMB. So I think that's a really positive thing. And I think it's challenging in a way for resellers to step up, but again, it's going to give them that low level control they've sort of had generally around the group policy as well. So again, I think the security, and part of that also is we're now faced with a world where we have things like our data, the local data breach compliance requirements. We have GDPR, you know, coming into force very, very soon. So are you seeing it from your point of view that, you know, the customers are really, you know, putting security as top of mind? Are they coming out and saying, look, we need protection against all these sort of attacks? Or is it still a bit of a second class citizen? Are you seeing that, like I said, you know, are customers really focused on it because they are getting attacked?
Yes, definitely. So we have a lot of customers that are saying a couple of things. The first one is they are concerned. Actually, we just ran a survey and 71% of SMB owners that were surveyed said that they feel vulnerable to cyber attacks. And I think the fact that data protection is now in the news with Facebook, for example, this is making a lot of people concerned about these. And those who are dealing with the European Union customers, they have to comply with GDPR. There is no other way. Pretty much. So that is raising the bar. And the new legislation in Australia that came into effect in February also is putting the ice into how can I improve my data protection. Now, the concern they have is that they don't have the skills. So they need someone who knows about this to help them go through this path, right? And that is why we want to empower resellers to have that security capability to enable these features into their customers, and then add projects and manage services to manage all these on behalf of them.
All right, so we mentioned briefly that there are sort of two major SKUs in this environment. There is a business version, which is typically what we'll focus on in more detail, but there's also an enterprise version as well. So in a nutshell, can you give us an idea of, you know, what are the major differences? You know, what sort of customer would need the feature set of an enterprise version versus the business version?
Look, I think the main differences are around the depth of the compliance and the complexity of the business, right? If I think about this product, is great for those who need the collaboration piece of Office, and then they have this initial path into security and device management. We're giving them advanced features that we might talk about in a minute, but what I would say is the enterprise features are going to give you more the telephony, for example, advanced security with credential guard, direct access. You will have conditional access included in the E5. You could have different specific things like on-premise calls and things like that enable a more complex environment and complex infrastructure. But if you think about it, the features that we are adding to this product are making it the hero offer that we have for the, I would say, user companies below 300 users, because that is our technical cap. But most of the requests that they had when we did the survey after we went to market with this product for the first time, we are addressing in this new iteration that we are announcing this week.
Cool. All right. So let's say that we have a customer who already is using Office 365 and they want to move and receive the features of Microsoft 365. What's involved? There's no tenant migration. What do they need to do to step up to what Microsoft 365 can provide if they're already on Office 365?
Yes. So if they are already on Office 365 Business Premium, that means they have all the applications like Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Outlook, and so on. They have the services, Exchange, OneDrive, Skype for Business, Teams, SharePoint, and the business apps, Booking, Staff Hub, Outlook Customer Manager. So those customers will get additional features around security and device management, right? Those features, let me go quickly through what they get extra so you understand the difference first in between the two products. And then we go into what's involved in that migration process. They get security, as I said before, across not only Windows 10, but Android, iOS devices. They can encrypt the documents. They can enforce multi-factor authentication. They can restrict the ability to copy and paste business information into personal apps. They can enforce BitLocker to ensure that the devices are encrypted. And then they can remote wipe information related to the business if a device is lost or stolen. We're adding also features like information rights management, so you can decide who gets to read your emails or who can forward and so on. And actually, you can even encrypt those emails and send it through to a, let's say, Gmail account. And that Gmail account will have to go through a validation process to be able to read it. So it's very, very powerful. We have also intelligent labeling that understands what type of information you're handling and what you're going to do with it. So you can put that as confidential. Let's say you're building a document, an Excel document with credit card details for your customers. So it will prompt saying, hey, why don't you put this as confidential? Also data loss prevention tips. If you're trying to send PII, personal identifiable information, to an external recipient in the company, it's going to tell you, hey, you might be about to breach policy. Be careful with this, and that, and point out what are the things that you might be breaching. And then we have protection against ransomware and with exploit guard, Windows exploit guard. So a lot of features there. And as you said before, we are also adding things to the device management side of it. That includes not only the ability to deploy Windows with autopilot, but also you have auto installation of Office applications. And then you can manage any device like Windows, Android, iOS, Mac, and so on with Microsoft Intune. So full access to Intune has been included into this queue. And finally, for those with GDPR involvement or even NDB, we have Exchange Online Archiving and preservation policies, so they can go back, recover the data, and do reporting about it to remain compliant. So a lot of features, a lot of security and device management on top of Office 365, and that is pretty much what we are, how we are placing this product as a different to just the collaboration of the Office tools. Right, this is more security focused and device management across all platforms.
Yeah, so I've got a blog post that I'll link in the show notes so people can have a look at the differences that have been added to the Microsoft 365 Business Suite. But for me, just rattling off a few of the most important ones now. For me, you've already mentioned that Microsoft 365 Business now has full Intune. So that's going to mean, again, that low-level granularity, the ability to, again, set all these policies and manage it as a standard environment through Intune in Azure. Again, I think that's going to be a big positive for a lot of resellers who are looking for that sort of granular control coming from a group policy style background. So that, again, I think is the premier add-on that makes this, again, a really, really fantastic SKU, especially from the management side, from the reseller. The second one I would note that I think is a huge benefit too is the advanced Office 365 Advanced Threat Protection. So this is basically the sandboxing of your attachments, safe links, the additional scrutiny of your interactions with people inside the business to make sure they don't get phished and generally, you know, forward or send emails out, send funds out to places outside the organization. So those two, and the other one I would suggest that is fantastic is the inclusion of the Exchange Online Archiving. So that archiving effectively is upgrading a Exchange Online Plan 1 mailbox, standard 50 gig, to basically unlimited storage, which makes it the equivalent of a Plan 2 mailbox. So the items 1, 2, and 3 for me were definitely full in tune, especially from a management backend. The advanced threat protection to deal with the emails, the most likely vector when we're going to see this crypto locker and viruses and malware. And then the third thing is this Exchange Online Archiving, meaning that, again, you're giving the businesses the ability to retain and, you know, basically have their email stored for whatever period of time. So, again, a huge range of features, but I think they're my top three. We've also got, you know, data loss prevention. We've also got enterprise state roaming. We've got, the ability now through the hybrid Azure AD joined, so we can still stay with our on-prem domain environment and mix that. So again, a lot of really great features. I'll make sure that link is in there for people. And I suppose the other one that I was a bit surprised to see was that, and I think it's fantastic, don't get me wrong, but now the Microsoft 365 Business also includes Microsoft Stream. So I'm seeing that more people are asking about Stream. They're wanting to do videos. They're wanting to do training portals. So yeah, I think there's a huge amount of fantastic features here that are going to provide a lot of value to people. And also, as you mentioned, they're going to be the hero SKU. So now that
you were asking me about the migration path before, and I didn't touch on it, but people that are already on Office 365 Business Premium, when they changed the subscription to a Microsoft 365 business subscription, they won't see anything changing. It's very, very seamless, that transition. The customer experience is very seamless, and the administrator will get the enhanced features in the admin console. So that's one of the great things that we have. It's the same tenant, so there are no changes and no impact for the end user.
Yeah, so what I see, I've got a Microsoft 365 business tenant, and the license for that already has been upgraded to include all these fantastic features. When you drill into the specifics of the license, if you've already got an Office 365 license and you want to upgrade, basically it's just a license changeover for that user. So you add in the Microsoft 365 business license, remove the existing Office 365 license, and you get all the benefits that you got with Office 365 Business Premium, plus all these new features are enabled as well. So managing it and upgrading from a licensing point of view at the back end is really simple. Once you've done that, then obviously there's all these additional features that can be configured. And from a reseller's point of view, it's an opportunity to go in and provide additional services and make sure that the customers are secure. And again, I think these features are going to continue to grow as we progress down the track, as the needs for security improves. And again, I think that from where I sit and sort of the SMB space, I think that I would certainly see the Microsoft 365 business now as the SKU, the hero SKU. It's really almost on par with E3, I find. But I think there should be, and again, the other great thing in all of this, which is the price for the SKUs hasn't gone up, has it?
That hasn't changed at all.
So that's the amazing thing. You've added all these features and it's no additional price. That's amazing.
Yeah, we're packing a lot, and we launched this product in November last year, the SMB SKU, and we heard the feedback. We got a lot of concerns about blockers or the value of the product compared to other offerings, and we understood it, and we brought it in. And the engineering team has done a fantastic job bringing them in. You might have seen that some of them, as you said, they are already in the console, so you will already have access if you have a subscription of this kind. And there are others like DLP Advanced Threat Protection for Word, Excel, and PowerPoint that are coming very soon once we update the applications and the DLP as well. So those things are going to be rolling up in the next weeks. But many of these features are already in the system.
Yeah, so I think, again, the ability obviously now to integrate with an on-prem AD is going to remove a major blocker. I think that's going to make it much easier to look at this migration process, you know, eventually to a full cloud environment, but a lot of people still are unfortunately locked into a on-prem environment for a time being while they do move the stuff across.
And that was one of the things that we got most feedback about. We wanted to enable this hybrid environment for those customers that have on-premise infrastructure. In our research, we're saying, look, this today is a blocker. The good thing is now we have guidance. We have released guidance to help you on that process, connecting the on-premise Active Directory with the Azure one and doing that direct sync before implementing this.
All right. So as we're getting sort of towards the end of our time here, what would you suggest, or where would you suggest that, for example, typically a reseller would go to get more information about obviously what Microsoft 365 Business is, and also to go about installing it and building a service arrangement for their customers around this product?
Look, the landing page for this product is going to be updated, and we're already updating some documents, the service description, licensing, and so on. And that is at partners.office.com, and follow the prompts for Microsoft 365 Business. The other thing that I have that I'm building and usually recommend people that I talk to go to is aka.ms/Nico, N-I-C-O. That's my point drive that I put a lot of information, webinars, articles, and this type of important information as well for them to follow. And if they want to test the product, go to demos.microsoft.com, and there you will have not only the ability to spin up a demo tenant to play with, but it already comes with pre-populated things for you to go through, and a script for you to learn how to demo, as we do when we do that in events.
So the other thing I'll throw out there is that I'm out there also doing presentations for distributors and for Microsoft on this product. We're doing 1-day, 2-day seminars to get people up to speed. We're helping them understand and presenting what the benefits are from a technical side, because now that you've added some of the higher end features that many people may not have been familiar with in the business SKUs, there's a bit more learning to be done and understanding of how all this integrates and how to make the most of it. So things like in-place hold, legal hold, how do you turn that on, what happens there, what happens when mailboxes are unlicensed or deleted in that environment, and again, exactly what you can and can't do. And as Nico mentioned, some of the differences between the enterprise and now the business SKU. But again, I think that there's a great opportunity for resellers to really take this hero SKU and go to their customers and make sure that they're protecting their information. They're also protecting their devices, and they still get the ability, if they need to do the hybrid arrangement and work with the on-prem environment while it is being phased out. And that's going to give them so much flexibility. And also, again, I think it's going to provide them with more revenue opportunities to help them grow their business. So, and again, it is amazing, all the options that have been added for no additional price. And I think you're certainly going to see a lot of the licenses sold now. It's removed a huge amount of blockers, and I think that a lot of people are really going to jump on board with this, especially, as we've mentioned, because of the security and compliance requirements that are now out there. The environment where we're facing, you know, continued attacks, and again, customers just want to be safe and get on with their job. And apart from all those, you know, hardcore security stuff, there's always the thing like Teams to do collaboration. You've got Forms, you've got Sway, you've got you know, Skype for Business, all of that sort of stuff in the background that people can use. So again, it's a very, very compelling, and I think, again, you're going to get a lot of uptake on it. So Nico, thank you very much for your time and the information you've provided. Is there anything else that you'd like to let our listeners know about the product?
Look, there is a really good campaign running at the moment. So if you have any opportunities in the short term to talk to your customers and upsell this product and land your services around security, take advantage of this. For this quarter, we have $60 incentive for each seat you sell of this product, Microsoft 365 Business I'm talking about. We also have free migration offers, data migration with SkyCake and BitTitan. If you're using those tools, please reach out to them and check out that offer. And if you want post-sales training, we also have 45 days for free with a company called Brainstorm. Then you subscribe your customers and they will get tips and tricks on how to get the most out of the Office tools. So if you have anything close to you that is someone is concerned about security, maybe position this product, give it a try, and you can actually get more money on the site.
Yeah, I think also too, the really thing I will call out in what you've mentioned is the demos.microsoft.com. If you're a Microsoft partner, you need to have a look at that. Go in there, make sure you sign up for that so you can spin up not only Microsoft 365 demos, but some enterprise demos as well to get a feel for it. It can be pre-populated with information, so you can go out, show your customers, get them logging in, get them using the tools and interacting with it. And the best way to learn a lot of this stuff is obviously to go and play with it. And again, those tenants are available usually in a 90-day period. The only thing is you can't convert them to production. So they're total demo tenants that you would need to basically start a new tenant from scratch. But certainly something I think you should have in your arsenal when you're dealing with all the products that are coming out, testing them, understanding them, how they work, break the stuff in the demos, and then, you know, you've understood what it is. So when you go to do a production, you've got all that experience. All right, Nico, thank you very much for that. If people want to get in contact with you specifically and ask you any specific questions or follow up with anything that you've mentioned here, how can they get in contact with you?
They can send me an email to nico@microsoft.com, or we usually get feedback at m365au@microsoft.com. So if you have product feedback, suggestions, or anything that you think is a blocker or an opportunity for us to improve the product, just let us know.
Excellent. All right. Well, I'll make sure that those contact details are in the show notes when we do post that. Again, watch out for the roadshows. Watch out for the incentives. Go out there and see the additional features that Microsoft has added to this product. Go and play with it. And I think you're going to find it really is the best SKU for SMB that's going at the moment. So again, once again, Nico, thank you very much for your time. Really appreciate that.
Thank you.
And like I said, we might catch up with you in a little while down the track just to see what else is happening with Microsoft 365 Business.
No problem. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You have been listening to the Need to Know podcast from CIA Ops. For training on using technologies like SharePoint Online or Office 365, visit www.ciaopsacademy.com. By purchasing from the selection available, you'll be directly supporting this podcast. To provide feedback on this episode, visit www.ciaops.com/contact.